says the Lord.
Amen.
Well, I don't hear nothing. I think we are in the graveyard. Because the people in the grave cannot talk, cannot shout. All you hear is silence. But in the house of God, there is too much noise. It was the noise that brought the people at the day of Pentecost. And Peter had the privilege of preaching to people. 3,000 souls were swept into the kingdom of God. So I think one more time, everybody is going to fill his lungs with the capacity of air and shout the best for Jesus. We want to prepare this platform for Brother Samuel, that when he comes here, he will feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost to preach what the Lord has laid upon his heart. We are not here for playing churches. The days of playing churches is gone. We are here to worship and to praise God as we can. So one more time, I'm going to say praise the Lord, and I want you to back me up with a loud voice, shout, and let this roof kick off so that we can have more sunshine. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, it is my privilege to be standing here once again to tell you what the Lord has done for me. God really has blessed me and has kept me and protected me. But about 2 weeks ago, he did something so miraculously that I couldn't believe it. You see, sometimes you have to put God into test and let him prove himself with you, or to you, that he's walking by you and is hearing your prayers. So let's pray before I start giving my testimony. Dear Lord, I come to you this very hour in the matchless name which we heard this morning of you. Your name has been exalted far above everything in this world. In your name we live, we move, and have all our being supplied. I pray that God you will hide me behind the cross, that Jesus alone will have the preeminence to move from seat to seat and touch the heart of your people and kindle your people, motivate them, cultivate them through this testimony that you have laid upon my heart to testify. Bless every head bowed, every family represented. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse our flesh and prepare our hearts for tonight's message. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I don't know how to begin my testimony. I've written something down here, and I don't know where I kept it. Christianity is not just by jumping and clapping your hands. Some people think that when they come to the service or to the church, by jumping and clapping their hands, they think that that is Christianity. Christianity is more than that. Christianity is when you have given the whole of you upon the altar, which means the title of my testimony is giving. Giving. The devil has deceived the church so much that we really not give what God wants us to give. But when I read the book of Acts, the book of Acts started with giving. When you read from the day one that Peter preached the most greatest sermon in the Bible, you could see that people were willing to give. Why did the Bible say, give, and it shall be given unto you? The more that you give, the more also God gives back unto you. We think about men in the Bible who gave. Women who gave. One thing that struck my mind is the woman of Shunammite. When Elisha was preaching around Samaria, this woman, Shunammite woman, saw Elisha passing on her way day in and day out. And one day he stopped and he invited him to come into the house and have a cup of tea. But Elisha refused. But the Bible says he continued urging him to come. So Elijah agreed and went in and got a cup of tea. So every time he's passing on that way, he will branch into this house and have a cup of tea and continue on his journey. This woman was so great in giving. So he consulted her husband and said, I perceive this man is a man of God. So let's build him a house so that whenever he comes, he will just walk in and go to the room and sleep and take his rest. And the man agreed to build him a house, put a table, put a candlestick, put a chair, put a bed. So Elijah was a privileged man to be able to have rest whenever he gets to this woman's house. So one day, he was sleeping on his bed, and Gehazi was standing somewhere. He said, Gehazi, what should we do for this woman? And Gehazi, you know, children are children. Look all around, and there was no children. in the woman's house. He says, Master, these people have everything, but I can't see any child in the house. Elisha said, call her, let her come. And he called the woman. The woman came and stood beside the door. And Elisha said, for what you have done for us, ask what you will, and we will pray unto God for God to reward you. You see, when you give, you receive. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So Elijah looked at her, he said, well, Gehazi, there is nothing here which proves that this woman has a child. So tell her, but next year, by this time, she is going to have a child. And they called the woman. The woman came. And the woman stood by the door. And Elisha looked at her and said, by this time of the year, you will embrace a baby boy. Woman said, hey, many prophets have told me, and it hasn't come to pass. So don't deceive me. I think many of you have read that story before. And when the year passed, God confirmed the word of his prophets. This woman had a baby boy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is a good God.
Amen.
You can't beat God in giving. The more you give, the more he will give to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, Christianity is not like this. Christianity is like this. You open your arms and give. And when you give, God will give. So this woman had a baby, brought a boy, and the boy grew up. He went to his father's farm. He started complaining about headache, and eventually he died on the knees of her mother. But one thing I believe is that faith works. We are all sitting here because we have faith. We believe God.
Amen.
But this woman believed God to the extent that
Amen.
When even his baby has died on the bed of Elisha, the Bible says anybody asks for the baby, say, how is the baby? He said, it is well. He is well. The fault with us is that we confess defeat. That is why we don't have our meat, our needs met. That woman never gave up. He went to the husband and said, now get me a horse, get me a servant. I want to go and see that prophet who prophesies unto me. And they gave her a horse. And he rode to Elisha where she was. And when he came to Elisha, Elisha said, how is everything? How is the baby? How is your husband? How is everybody in your house? Is it well? He said, yes, it is well. It is well. A woman who has held his dead baby, putting her on the bed of a prophet, saying, it is well. What will you say? You will be crying, but this woman never cried. And he went to Elisha. Elisha sent Gehazi, hey, take my staff, go and put it before this baby and let her arise. But Gehazi had a different spirit. So God couldn't work a miracle through him. So the child was still dead. And Gehazi came back, he said, he's still dead. So Elisha stood up and the woman said, as God liveth, I'm not going to leave you alone. Persistence always wins. Faith always wins. Goodness always wins. So Elisha stood up, went with her, came to the room. There was baby lying down, dead. He told everybody to get out, close the door, put his mouth in his mouth, stretch himself upon the child, and prayed unto God. And miraculously, the child sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes and gave the child to the mother. What did that woman receive back? His child, because of the goodness and the reward he gave to Elisha. I can stand here and tell you so many men and women in the Bible, Dorcas in the New Testament. What happened to Dorcas? In Acts chapter 9, verse 30 says, he was the one who was looking after the widows, the poor, the needy, sewing clothes and everything for them. And he died, she died. And the Bible says because Joppa was near to where he was, they sent somebody to go to Joppa to talk to Peter to come and see her before they bury her. But when Peter came, he drove all the people out. Why? Because Peter was there when Jesus called him to Jairus' daughter's room. He knew how Jesus spoke to the dead and raised the dead. So when he came to where Dorcas was lying in the bed, he chased everybody out because they were showing what Dorcas had done for them. The clothes, the calves, everything that he had, the goodness he has done. And the Bible says Peter knelt at the bed and prayed, and God restored the life of the dead woman. Is it not wonderful? Amen. Is it not precious? Your goodness that you do daily will bring you a good result. That is why Peter, when he went to the beautiful gate, after he had surrendered everything in him, after he has paid the price, after he has let go what was keeping him to go through and meet the needs of the Lord Jesus, he came one day to the beautiful door of the church, the temple. There was a man crippled. What did he say? He said, look unto us. The man said, give us something. He said, silver and gold I have none, but such I have, I give to you. Such I have, I gave it to you. You see, the early church were givers. We talk about Barnabas. He sold his land, gave it to the people. Many, many of them. Only Sapphira and Ananias who kept what they sold, half of it, and pretended to lie unto the Holy Ghost. You can't. He sees everything. He knows everything. So after this, the Bible says God anointed Peter so much. I like the way Peter responded to Jesus when he said, "Do you love me more than this?" Peter said, "I do." He said, "Feed my sheep." "Do you love me more than this?" "I do." "Feed my flock." "Peter, do you love me? Do you actually love me? I'm not talking about filial love, but I'm talking about agape love. Because if you love God, you will be able to give all. You will be able to surrender all. You will be able to say, "Lord, nothing in my hand I bring. I bring my life to you on this altar." And when Peter did that, after Jesus rose again, the Bible says he was changed. A new man. Amen. He became a new man. So when he went to the beautiful gate, the man said, "Please give me money." He said, "Silver and gold I have none, but such I have, I give to you. In the name which we heard this morning, in that precious name, in that majestic name, in the name that is above every name, rise up and walk." And he rose up. And that gave Peter the opportunity to preach, to win 3,000 souls. Just imagine one preaching, one sermon. 3,000 men found their way into the kingdom. Friends, we have to learn to give. God did not call you to come here and fold your hands, open your hands, and God will put something on. Now I'm coming to my testimony. This miracle took place about 2 weeks ago. On Thursday, when we did not come to prayer meeting, and when I think about it, I think it was planned by God. That everything went the way it went. Because on that Thursday, when we did not come here to pray, I was fasting and praying in the house. Before then, a brother in Christ came to me outside one Sunday and asked me to pray for him because the debtor was at his heels. And when I went home, I couldn't sleep. I began to watch and cry unto God. And God brought this message to me about the woman whose husband was a prophet, and he woos some man in the Bible, and the husband died, and the woman became a widow, and then he had two sons, and the man was coming to take them to be slaves. But he made this Elisha that we are talking about. He said, Elisha, you know that my husband, he said, a man who fear God, but he owned money when he died. The collector is coming to take my two children to be bondsmen, slaves. And Elisha said, what do you have in your house? He said, just a cruel of oil. He said, do what I'm telling you. Go out and borrow cans, as many as you want, and begin to pour into it. And she did that. He brought that cans into her room, started to fill it, and everything was filled to the capacity. And the Bible says he went back to the man of God. He said, well, there is no can anymore. He said, go and sell it and pay the debt. That is how the woman and her son survived. So when I read that, I started to pray so hard for my brother. I said, Lord, do something. When you pray like this, God always tests your faith. And when I started praying like that, God said, Larry, you have money in your bank account. Why don't you take that money and give to this brother of yours? That is a challenge, isn't it? That is a challenge. And that money, I've decided to use it for something else, which was dear to me. And the Lord said, you are praying to me to send money or do this and do that for this brother of yours, but you have the money in your bank. Go and take it and give it to him. When I prayed and this thing came into my heart, I began to think. And when I started thinking, God said, don't think, do it. Do it. Because we call something like a verb. A verb, when we were in school, we were taught a verb is a doing word. Faith without works is dead, being alone. So God started to speak to me. He said, go and take that money now or write a check and give it to this brother. So eventually, I did what God told me. The next Sunday, I gave it to him. The next Thursday, I was sitting reading the Bible and I was thinking over everything that has happened. That Thursday night, that was the night we didn't come to the service. And I was sitting reading the Bible and the door knocked again. And I said, who is this coming to me about 9 o'clock? And there was a friend that I have never seen before. He said, "Larry, I'm glad to see you tonight." And I said, "I'm glad to see you too. Sit down." He sat down, we started reading the Bible. And we talked about so many things. I said, "Do you want us to break bread?" He said, "Yes." So I prepared the Lord's Supper and we broke bread. And I said, "Do you have any requests that you want us to pray about it?" He said, "Yes." So we pray about all the requests he wanted. And after we finished, I went to the scullery to prepare something. He said, "Larry, I'm going too late." And whenever he was going, he said, "I've put something under your mobile phone, so don't forget to look at it." So after he went, I went to my table and looked at the mobile phone. And I tell you, I was so surprised. £200 was put under my mobile phone for me as a gift. The £200 I gave to the brother has been given back. That is why the Bible says, "Give, and it shall be given back unto you." If you want God to move in your life, start to give. You start to give. Start to practice that. Sarah, Hannah cried unto God. He said, "Oh Lord, if you give me one child, I will give it to you." And he did. See what God did to Samuel. You can't beat God in giving. He holds the whole world. May this encourage your faith. May this test must stimulate your faith. Don't worry when you dry light, when you don't have nothing. Don't worry. He will make a way where there is no way. Hallelujah. We are serving a good God, a God who never fails. He said, "If you give, I will give it back." So God gave back to me the 200 that I took from my account that very night when we didn't come here to pray, because God was planning something in the sky. If your faith has not been tried, ask God to try your faith, because in that, you will have more faith to walk with the Lord. Brother Sam, I'm finished. The pulpit is yours now. Hallelujah.
Maybe we'll just stand our feet a moment and bow our heads tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks, Lord, for this testimony which we have heard tonight, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we know, Lord, we can't outgive you, Lord, because all the silver and gold belongs unto you. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Lord, we thank you, Lord, tonight, Lord, that there is mercy and that there is grace in your name. Lord, we thank you, Lord, tonight that there is power in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that we will exalt your name afresh, Lord, and we give you thanks, Lord, that we've put breath in our lungs, Lord, that we can speak your name and exalt you, Lord, at all times. Lord, I pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, that you'll help your people, Lord, that they'll be edified, be refreshed and uplifted in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I pray, Lord, you'll help us now, Lord, to read a couple of scriptures, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you'll bless each and every one now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'll not take too long. I'll read a couple of verses, maybe. But, you know, Tommy has preached my sermon this morning, and then Laurie basically preached it this evening as well. So, I didn't know what to do or what not to do, but, you know, yesterday I was talking to Tommy about doing the meeting, and then I went yesterday evening and I read over a few things, and then I got up early this morning and I read over a few things, and then I come up with the same conclusion as Tommy, the greatest name of all. And, you know, then when Tommy just preached that this morning, then I said to myself, what do I do? Do I go home now and do something different, or what do I do? But, you know, I believe, you know, the same as what Tommy said, I believe I was thinking last night about different things, and then I just believe, or this morning I say I was thinking about different things, and I believe that the Lord just said, just exalt my name. Just exalt my name. You don't have to do anything fancy. Just exalt him. Just uplift his name. And tonight we'll just turn our Bibles here to Hebrews chapter 1. And we'll read verses 1 down to verses 6. And as I say, I'll just read a couple of verses. I'll not try to go through this tonight. We'll just read a couple of verses and just uplift the name of the Lord. You know, we're already blessed anyway from the testimony we've heard. And, you know, we'll thank God. You know, I remember my father saying one time he had money and he gave all he had, and he lost his job at the same time. And he was sitting thinking to himself, why did I give all that away? And I have a family to keep and everything, you know, what am I going to do? And a voice spoke to him and said, get up and go down to the door. There's a man coming to the door now. And there's a man come to the door that very moment, and he knocked the door and he opened the door and he says, Billy, here you have just out of work. He says, you did? He says, the job literally had finished. He says, well, I just heard you'd finished. And he says, I was wondering, would you want a job driving a machine? And he says, I do. He says, you start in the morning one. And God met his need. You know, he said many a time, God met his need. You know, and God, we can't outgive God. Because God is a good God. And there's none like unto him. It says here in Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by his word, of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. You may take your seat tonight. You know what it says here? Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed. Isn't it wonderful? You know, we've seen, as Tommy was talking about it last week, how that men have appointed a man. And we know how that man, by his actions, has made himself an antichrist. And by his deeds, he's an antichrist. Because we know that anything that exalts itself above Jesus Christ becomes antichrist. Now, it doesn't matter what label you put on it. You can put a Protestant label on it. You can put a Roman Catholic label on it. You can put any religion on it you want. But once it exalts itself above Christ Jesus, then it becomes antichrist. It's not the word anymore. It's a decoy. And you know, we know how the serpent, he worked as a decoy. Because he told Eve a bit of truth, but he told her a bit of lies as well. And he tricked her and beguiled her. So we see that that's how the enemy operates. A part truth. Like Tommy said before, the dilute the taste religion. They don't want the whole thing. We'll take a wee bit and we'll dilute it to taste. It says, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person. We know today that we've got the Catholic doctrine of the Trinity. And they believe in three persons. But the word of God says there's one person in the Godhead. And it says the fullness of the Godhead bodily, which is a person, dwelleth in him. And we know that how that when they come to baptize, they didn't baptize in titles. You know, I had a conversation with a man one time. We're talking about the baptism, and he says, I'll just do what Jesus said. And we know that how that Jesus had said that to go forth and to baptize in the name of the Father, and the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. But we know by a revelation of a prophet of God that God sent a prophet in the 20th century to turn our hearts back to the Word, not to worship the man. But we know today that how the people have got off on a limb, how the people have got off on a system of worshiping the man. And they're not worshiping the message. They're not worshiping the one that the man pointed us to, which was Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Like Tommy said this morning, the theme of everything was that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. We knew that all through all healing evangelistic ministries, every man that God used, that was the theme. Amen. That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But when you try to exalt something above him, like Gary one time preached a message about the blasphemous names, we know Brother Branham preached a message about it as well, how that these names become blasphemous names. When that ticks the head, when it's not actually the head. We know that how that when God brought the children of Israel out, but what did they want to do? Let's get a golden calf made. It's in man's nature. Man wants to worship something. He wants to physically see something. He wants to worship something, and he'll exalt the silliest of things. You know, I know how the people in sport, they'll exalt some superstar as it is in sport, but they're not really a superstar. They're just a person. They're just another man. But Jesus Christ is greater than all superstars. He's greater than all. There's no man like him. There's none like him, because it says, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. There's power in his word.
Amen.
There's no power in any man's word. Every man's word's a dead ladder. There's nothing in it for you. It won't do you any good. Somebody could say something to cheer you up. You know, people could tell you one thing and they're thinking something else. You know, there's people can be sweet to your face. Old sweet lips. Give you the old sweet talk. And the wee pot in the back. And as soon as you step away, the old gub on them like a lurking spade, like Laurie says. You know, that's a false face. And the world's full of false faces. But Jesus Christ is not false. He's real. And when you take him into your life, you have an experience that's real. And it doesn't matter what anybody says, I can't take that away from you. But if you're living on the experience of some man, like, you know, if Tommy had said this morning about different people, and I know me and Gary had traveled a bit and went to a few meetings and things, and you met people there at those meetings, and you'd have said to them, well, when did you get saved? And they say, well, I come into the message at a certain date or a certain time. But when were you born again? When were you born again? Like, you know, you could ask someone, are you born again? Well, I'm a member of a certain denomination. Or I'm a member of this church. And my granny and my great granny and my grandfather, and we bought that seat, and we done this and we done that, and I am a member of that organization. You didn't answer the question. It doesn't matter if you say you're a member of the bride, or you're a member of the message, or you're a member of some denomination, or you're a Roman Catholic. It doesn't matter what you say you are. If you don't have an experience with Jesus Christ, you're lost.
Amen.
You have to have a born-again experience.
Amen.
Nicodemus, being a Jew, knew to come to Jesus after he heard the message. And he come to him by night and he says, what must I do to be born again? What must I do? And Jesus said to him, you must be born again. And it sounded like a strange thing. How could I enter the second time into my mother's womb? But Jesus explained it to him. But today, we've got what you call the complicated religion, where you have to take the word of God and try and make it complicated to make yourself feel good or something about it. I don't know what it is, but there's no complications in the word of God. The word of God is yes and amen. It's straightforward. When Jesus says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. He says what he means, and he means what he says. He doesn't mix it up. We know that how when he spoke to them, religious leaders of that day, but he spoke to them in parables. But it seems clear to us, but it was like the case of you can't see the forest for the trees. They should have known when they heard him speak. They should have known when he fulfilled all the laws, when he fulfilled all the signs. For it was written in the Old Testament that God would send them the Messiah. And he fulfilled every inch and every bit of it. But they couldn't see it. And today we've got people, and God has brought a genuine message in the 20th century. Don't be mistaken. God had a prophet and his name was William Branham. I believe he was a prophet of God. He sent a prophet of God. For what reason? Because man was tied up in dogmas and religions and different things. And man was tied up in all different sects and religions and all that. But God had to send someone with a message. And he grabbed our attention because of the ministry was so great and outstanding because God was with him. We know that. But today we've got people that have majored on the man and not on the message that the man brought. They've went out, as it were, like, you know, remember Rock saying one time, if the postman brought you something, you wouldn't go out and say, "Why?" You wouldn't go out and praise the postman. If somebody sent you something in the post, you wouldn't be going out to, you know, you'd thank him for doing his job. But you're not going out to praise him. But if someone sent you a gift in the post, you would thank them. But God has sent us a gift of eternal life, his son, the greatest name of all. He sent us a gift. But men don't appreciate the gift. But they want to appreciate the one that brought the message, not the one that is behind it. The main person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It says here, he says in verse 3, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself. No other man could say that. Amen. When he by himself. You know that he was forsaken. When you feel forsaken, you're not. Because Jesus Christ was forsaken. When he stood in Gethsemane and he prayed and sweated great drops of blood for you, for me. And he says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will. And when he went to the cross, he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken so that me and you would never have to be forsaken. Amen. When the enemy comes and says, oh, there you go. Now God has left you on your own. Now everybody has abandoned you. I want you to know that you're not abandoned. And it doesn't matter if all the earthly people around you disappear. It doesn't matter. You've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Amen.
When you've got Jesus Christ, you can never be forsaken because he was forsaken for you. And he went to the whipping post for your healing. And he went to the cross for your salvation because it says, he, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. His name, I've wrote down here, that his name is great, the greatest name, that there's majesty in his name, and there's power in his name. The majesty, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. When he sat down there, that was indication that all power and authority was given unto him. And when he was on that cross and he went down into the deepest caverns of the dam and he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. So I want you to know tonight that he's in control of death. He's in control of the grave. There's no man in control of it. We know that your man's put into a position and he thinks he's in control. And he wears the three-pointed hat to say that he's in charge of here and below and up above. He's in charge of three realms, he reckons. But he's actually not. He's in charge of nothing. He's a man and he's on his way to hell if he doesn't accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know he won't because we know that Judas came into this world for that purpose. And it says that when he betrayed Jesus, that he went out and hung himself on a tree that he may go to his place. He was damned. And this man is damned because of what he believes. And it says in verses 5, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship who? Him. They will worship the angels. No. We don't worship the angels. You know, there's people today that have majored on that too. They want to major on something happening or something, and they want to worship that or worship an angel or worship a man or worship a system. But the word of God says that he commanded the angels to worship him. There's no glory or no worship given to anyone but Jesus Christ. All power and all authority and all glory is given unto him. We see that, we know that Tommy this morning, I think, mentioned this as well, Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 19. And verses 19 down to verses 22. We'll read this here and then we'll come to the close. I'll not take too much more of your time up. Verses 19, and it says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, for far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He's above all. God hath exalted him far above all. The greatest name of all. I have a lot more things here, but I'm not going to dwindle tonight because I'll not take your time. I don't want to weary you. Let's stand at our feet a moment tonight and we'll pray before I hand over to the pastor. Lord, we thank you, Lord, today that by your mercy and by your grace, Lord, we have done our best to exalt and uplift your name. And Lord God, we believe that there is power in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we gather here tonight and agree together, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll touch my Auntie Eileen right now in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I pray you'll curse every spirit of death, every cancer cell, everything that's in the body that's not meant to be in the body. You are the creator of every cell. You are the creator of everything. Lord God, I pray that you'll make all well in Jesus' name. Lord, when there seems to be no hope, Lord, we believe that you took those stripes on your back for our healing. Lord, we believe tonight that you went to Calvary for our salvation. Lord, we pray tonight, Lord, and we hold to your unchanging hand. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to have faith, Lord, not to be downcasted, but be uplifted in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to look in the face of the enemy and say that God is able.
Yes.
That Jesus Christ is alive and well and is in the business of healing tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you'll touch her right now, Lord God. Lord, touch each and every one in this building, Lord, tonight.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the testimonies that we have heard, Lord. Lord, we thank you for future ones that we're going to hear. Lord, we give you thanks in advance, Lord, for all the good things that you're going to do, Lord. And we thank you for all the good things that you have done. Lord, we exalt thee and give you praise in Jesus' name, for there's none like unto thee. Lord, I pray that you'll keep your hand upon us in the days that lie ahead, Lord. Lord, I pray that something will help someone tonight, Lord, that has been said, Lord. And let it all be to the glory of God. Anything that's been said amiss or out of place, I pray that it be cast down in Jesus' name. But everything, Lord God, that would exalt you and uplift you and magnify you and glorify you, Lord God, let it be in our thoughts and in our minds, Lord, in Jesus' precious name, for the glory of God. Amen.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless your brother Samuel.
And the Lord bless your brother Larry. Really enjoyed that. Praise God.
Don't forget Thursday night, where it's normal, our prayer and Bible study again on Thursday night. And just pray that the Lord will lead us and guide us in that. And next Sunday morning, our brother John will be preaching. So pray for all the meetings come along. And our brother Mark and Sister Ruth's here for another weekend. So it's good to have them over with us. And we just thank the Lord for them. And it's nice to see people when you don't see them for a while, isn't it? And God's so good, isn't it? Praise God. The Lord bless you real good, Brother Larry. Really enjoyed that tonight. That's the truth. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. I want to tell you this, then, Brother Gary's going to come. Remember some years ago, a man rang me. I needed a financial miracle, and this man rang me. He's a pastor. He rang me and he says, Brother, the Lord's led me to give you a sum of money. And I said, praise God. When are you coming with? I says, I need it. And I did need it. He says, I've got it for you. The Lord spoke to me. The Lord's led me to give it to you. But you know what happened? I never seen him. He never come the road of me. He told me God spoke to him and he told me he had it for me and all. And I was all set for it. And I needed it. I really needed it. And I'll tell you the honest truth, I had to go and borrow it while I was waiting on him to bring it. And eventually come with several months passed, and I said to him, Brother, I said, you're a bit late. You see, when God tells you to do something, sometimes God tells you to do it, you need to do it then.
Yes.
It's like John often says, there's no point doing it 6 months or a year's time. You might need it then, you need to do it at the time. But it mightn't be money, it could be something else. God might be leading you to talk to somebody. And you might put it off, but you mightn't get the chance again. I had a message this morning, the wife can tell you. The man sent me a message, I know this man well. And he said, the time of the date, and he said, the day I've met with the Lord. He said, it's full of hatred, and it's full of bitterness. But I've met the Lord today, I've got rid of all of it. Isn't that great? 9 o'clock this morning, he sent me that message, this fella. I surprised too at the point it was. But God's good. Brother Gary, come ahead, and the Lord bless you.
Amen. Let us sing Standing on the Promises of God. Thank you. That's where he's going to ask Brother Yule if he'll close in prayer for us.
Lord, I give you thanks tonight, Lord, what our ears have heard from thy word.
Jesus. Yes.
Lord, we know, Lord, you said faith comes by hearing,
uh-huh.
and hearing by the word of God. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, your word says
yes,
that you are a rewarder of them
yes,
that
Lord.
Diligently seek you.
Yes.
And you said, Lord, in your word, if we seek you, we shall find you. If we knock, it shall be opened. If we ask, it shall be given. Thank you, Lord, that you gave your only begotten Son
yes.
on that cross of Calvary. Lord, you said in thy word, the just for the unjust, that you might bring us to God. Lord, we just pray that you'll help us, Lord, to put words now, put the words into action, Lord. Help us, Lord, to put legs to our faith in what we've heard tonight. In Jesus' name, Lord, you said in thy word, and heard it even more tonight, Lord, in the Spirit, and you're able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above all. We can even think or even ask tonight, according to the power that worketh in us, Lord. Just thank you again for grace. Thank you, Lord, for mercy. Pray now, Lord, that you'll see each one to our home and safety. We just bless your name tonight for all that you've done, all that you're going to do. We just say amen to all that's been prayed tonight. For those that need thy healing touch, we say amen to all those that need thy touch tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Lord bless you. Lord will teach us on Thursday evening at 7:30. Now, as we go through the little course, come and go with me to my Father's house where there's joy and elsewhere. Lord bless us. Come back.